Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Ah, there we go. Got to get the sleep out of our eyes and our ears. And heard our hymn sing this morning with hymn number 1003, Where Do We Come From? I invite you to please rise as your spirits and bodies allow. How many folks remember this one? We did this in parts at the end of last year. You did a great job. We're not going to do that today, but just know you do know the song. You'll do fine. And here we go. Where do we come from? What are we? Where are we going? Where do we come from? What are we? Where are we going? Where do we come from? What are we? Where are we going? Where do we come from? What are we? Where are we going? Mystery, mystery from your belly. Life is a riddle and a mystery. Mystery, mystery. Life is a riddle and a mystery. And now the next one. Where do we come from? Where are we going? Faster. Where do we come from? Where are we going? Where do we come from? Where are we going? Mystery, mystery. Life is a riddle and a mystery. As loud as you can. Mystery, mystery.
Life is a riddle and a mystery.
Whisper.
Mystery, mystery. Life is a riddle and a mystery. Mystery, mystery. Life is a riddle and a mystery.
I invite you to join in singing hymn number 118, This Little Light of Mine. Remember, all you have to do to dance is step right, step left. That's it. Got it? Here we go.
Thank you.
and fourth verses only of We Laugh, We Cry. It's hymn number 354, if you're following in the hymn.
Good morning. Welcome to the First Unitarian Church of Alton. My name is Sabrina. We are a unique place. In the words of Reverend Chris Shiner, every Unitarian Universalist has the right to develop a personal philosophy of life without being told what to believe. We can learn from all philosophies and religions and also from science and the arts. We explore life issues in a caring community, united by shared values rather than shared theological opinions. And no matter what we do believe about theology or philosophy, we try to live a good life and leave the world better than we found it. I offer my welcome to you, and in particular to those of you who are first-time visitors. We welcome you and especially encourage you to join us after worship for coffee and conversation. Information about the church is available from the new member desk during coffee hours and from any of the people here gathered. We invite you to fill out one of the visitor cards found in the back of your hymnal and place it in the offering plate or give it to an usher. We'll send you our church newsletter for the next 3 months to let you know about the programs and activities going on here at the church. We are glad that you're here, and we hope to see you again on future Sundays. We do have a professionally... At the front of our sanctuary, we have the Spirit Chair, which includes activities for all ages, including coloring pages, crayons, pipe cleaners, those are fun, and more. You're invited to go to the Spirit Chair at any time during the service to take an activity back to your seat. We welcome everyone into this home of comfort, spirit, justice, and hope. And now we have some announcement, and Phil goes first.
Jack Gord was a friend and a colleague at the high school in Missouri where I taught for 25 years. On a beautiful day such as we've had recently, I would exclaim, "It's a beautiful day." And Jack would reply, "Yes, a great day for the race." Curiosity piqued, and thinking, "Horses? Cars? What race?" I'd ask, "What race is that, Jack?" And he'd reply, "Why, the human race." Jack was 3/32 Cherokee and carried a card to prove it. That was important to some people, but the gist of his race-baiting exchange was that we are prone to give too much emphasis to the categories that separate us and too little emphasis to the common humanity that unites us. It's easy. No, it's beyond easy and beyond tempting. It's almost inevitable that we see each other in terms of categories: age, gender, occupation, height, weight, handicap, outgoing or reserved, race, nationality, religion, the list goes on. A few years ago, I did accuracy review work for some math textbooks. Leslie Lahr, the developmental editor, would arrange for pages to be sent by UPS, and we would exchange email. We exchanged a lot of email. I hadn't met Leslie, so I couldn't put this person into any category. Man, woman, old, young. No. But it didn't matter. We did our jobs. Leslie hadn't met me, couldn't put me into any category besides math teacher. But it didn't matter. We did our jobs. Eventually we met, and I could categorize this person. Did any of the categories matter? Not really. Now you see what I did there? You still don't know. But it doesn't matter. To help us explore categorical thinking and working beyond that restriction, we have a guest speaker and workshop scheduled for September 20. Worship is from 10 to 11, and the workshop is from 12 to 3, with lunch provided for attendees from 11 to 12. Please plan to attend. The lunch should be tasty, the workshop enlightening. Thank you. Oh, there's a sign-up sheet on the Facebook UU page, Friends page, or in the Kate Worker Room. If you could, sign one of those places by Thursday the 17th and indicate whether you'd want childcare. That would be a big help.
Thank you, Phil. I have a few more announcements. This one is from the RE Committee, Religious Education, from elementary RE. Do you love Dr. Seuss? The elementary RE program, Religious Education, wants readers to share their love of Dr. Seuss with our children. Please speak with Edna Barr if you're interested. This one is from Lane. Hey, Lane. Oh, she's in the nursery, but Lane will be meeting after church with those interested in having a discussion about what we should be looking for in a new minister. She will be by the fireplace. Robin Strandquist, over here, has agreed to chair the grounds committee. And please see her after service if you're interested in helping out. And now there's a few announcements from Mary Johnson. Mary, over there. Yesterday, four people scraped and primed three walls in the rooms downstairs. Next Saturday, September 5th, starting at 1 p.m., three or four people are needed to paint those primed walls. Kelly Crone Willis will be coordinating the painting effort, and there is a volunteer sign-up sheet on the desk in the fellowship hall. Please help us get the RE rooms in shape for the fall. Also, next Saturday, the 50-plus group invites anyone interested in Unitarian and Universalist history to come at 10:30 to watch the first in a series of six DVDs entitled long, strange trip, a journey through 2,000 years of Unitarian Universalist history, produced and narrated by UU historian Ron Cordes. The series will continue through February on the first Saturday of each month. Next week's DVD is entitled In the Beginning and examines the roots of liberal religious thought prior to the Reformation. There are flyers about each program in the series on the table in the fellowship hall. And then Kitchen Club, a group of people who want to change the kitchen cleanup culture, are inviting everyone to participate in our new program called Wash, Dry, and Put Away. If you have a meeting or gathering at church that involves food or drink, and who doesn't, we encourage you to make sure that the dishes used are washed, dried, and put away, not left in the sink to be washed later by someone else or left drying on the drain rack to be put away by someone else. This, we feel, will keep the kitchen neater and provide an equitable way to get cleanup tasks done. Coffee hour cleanup is a bit different and will be done by weekly volunteers. And there is a sign-up sheet for that, and see Mary about it. But wash, dry, and put away is the process for Sundays, too. Thank you. This concludes our announcements. No? With this, my announcements.
Well, fine, then. My name is Reverend Sunshine Jeremiah Wolf. I am the interim minister here at the First Unitarian Church of Alton. That means that I am here on a short tenure. My last sermon will be June 19th, and I will be heading off in July, and hopefully this congregation will have its new settled minister by then. I have just a couple of announcements. One, we have a memorial service coming this Saturday, and we are looking for one person who would be willing to be here in the building to answer questions and provide support to the family. We're paying $100 for this, so if you need a little extra income or you're willing to help us out, please contact me after the service or by email. Our race film series, is going to begin on September 11th with the movie Selma. We have also determined that the one in October will be Fruitvale Station. I do highly encourage you to join us for that. You can sign up on Facebook or just show up. Unfortunately, we do not have childcare for that event because I don't have money to pay for it, but maybe we can get some volunteers to help out with childcare during that time. So. Also, the Reigning Love series, which is a series of classes on oppression and diversity, will begin on September 9th. You do have to attend the first session to attend the rest of the series. So if you're interested in that, make sure you get that on your schedule. That'll be September 9th at, I do believe I said 7 p.m. So. And with that, that concludes this morning's announcements. We open our worship with a prelude.
The call to worship today is by Carl G. Seberg. Let there be joy in our coming together this morning. Let there be truth heard in the words we speak and the songs we sing. Let there be help and healing for our disharmony and despair. Let there be silence for the voice within us and beyond us. Let there be joy in our coming together.
And as Isabella and Lyric come forward to light our chalice, I invite you to join me in reciting and engaging in the actions of our chalice lighting words. And we'll say it together, just do the actions as well as you can remember. We light this chalice, symbol of Unitarian Universalism. May it remind us of the divine spark in all of creation, the power of love to heal what is broken, and to be grateful for life's blessings each day.
Okay, so now is the time to recite the Hear Covenant that is written over there. To strengthen and nurture our welcoming community with love, compassion, and respect, we covenant together to honor and make space for our diversity, respect our volunteers, leaders, and staff by supporting balance in their lives and in their personal and professional pursuits. Encourage each to develop a personal spiritual practice that cultivates honesty and acceptance. Remembering our humanness, we acknowledge our imperfection and extend forgiveness to ourselves and others. Engage within our own and the larger community with integrity by taking responsibility for our actions, facilitating right relationships, and living into the journey. Our first hymn is number 1012 in the Teal Hymnal, and it's called When I Am Frightened.
So I got a story for you today, but I first want to ask, what is that? Saguaro cactus, that's right. Saguaro. How many people have been to Tucson, Arizona? This is a story about a saguaro from Tucson, Arizona. And that cactus's name was Chris. Chris the cactus. So once there was a cactus named Chris. Chris was a resident at the Arizona Sonoran Desert Museum. Now, if you were to ask Chris, they would tell you that they were the luckiest cactus ever. You might think it is because of the beautiful view of all of the animals who live at that museum. You might think it is because Chris the cactus was over 200 years old. Or perhaps because Chris the cactus stands taller than almost any other plant, including the trees. But no, Chris would never consider these facts to be of any importance or worthy of note, really. Chris the cactus would tell you that they are lucky because they never feel a thing. Is that a good thing? Never feel a thing. Chris had stood there for 200 years without any pain, without any fear, without any loss or conflict or anything. Yes, Chris the cactus believed themselves lucky. You're going to have to tell me what you think. One day, Chris the cactus had had a long day in the Tucson sun. It had been 120 degrees in the shade. And as the sun went down and the air cooled, the most beautiful sunset in the history of the world lay before them. Now you tell me, how would you feel if you saw the most beautiful sunset that ever existed? How would you feel? Lyric?
Good.
Yeah?
Happy.
Peaceful.
Peaceful. Odd.
Odd. Like in awe, yeah?
Oh.
Grateful? That's a good one. Isabel? No? Okay. Any other feeling you would feel if you saw the most beautiful sunset that ever was?
Small.
Small.
Lucky.
Lucky. Yeah. Well, Chris the cactus didn't feel a thing, and that wasn't because he was a cactus. The minute they saw it, they looked away and went to sleep. Chris the cactus could have felt joy. It would have been a good thing to choose. But if they felt joy, then they'd have a lot to lose. So Chris the cactus didn't feel a thing. And one day, Chris the cactus overheard a family at the museum bantering and laughing and exploring. And then the youngest child in the family, 7 years old, told the funniest joke that has ever been told in the history of jokes. A joke so amazing that you might fall to the ground laughing. Now you tell me, how would you feel if you had heard the funniest joke ever told in the history of jokes? Really?
You would? Enchanted.
Huh?
Enchanted.
Enchanted. That's a good word.
Giddy.
Giddy. What else?
Weak.
Oh, that made you weak last. Okay, thank you. It's kind of like it was so bad, it was good. Yes, I got you. Phil?
Amused.
Would you generally feel pretty awesome? Yeah? You might even be crying, but there'd be tears of joy. It's just so funny. Well, what did Chris the cactus feel, do you think?
Nothing.
No. Chris the cactus didn't feel a thing. The minute they heard it, they covered their ears with their giant saguaro arms. And felt nothing at all. It would have been good to feel joy. It would have been a good thing to choose. But if Chris the cactus had felt joy, they'd have everything to lose. So after many years of life, Chris the cactus had become home to all kinds of creatures. What kinds of creatures do you think live in a saguaro cactus? A cactus wren, yes, birds. What else? Huh?
Bugs,
yes.
What?
Water? Lizards? Chipmunks? Owls? They can sometimes perch on top of them, it's true. Scorpions, spiders, ants. Prairie dogs, they actually live in the ground, but there are desert rats and mice who live in saguaros. Saguaro is a great place to live. You know why? Because it has what?
It has water.
It has water. That's exactly right. It has water to drink, and it's safe from the heat. And so many, many creatures had lived with Chris the cactus over their 200 years. And each of these creatures had grown to love their new home, to love Chris the cactus. They loved them beyond all things, and took care of their home better than any creature that had ever lived. Now you tell me, if you shared a home with so many creatures who loved you so much, how would you feel? Isabella, loved. Lyric. Loyal. That's fulfilled. What else?
Secure.
Secure. It's a lot of good feelings, yeah? Appreciated. What do you think Chris the cactus felt?
No.
Well, Chris the cactus didn't feel a thing. The minute they felt an inkling of love, they grew gruff and tough and shut it down. They closed their heart entirely. And Chris the cactus could have felt joy. It would have been a good thing to choose. But if Chris the cactus felt love, what would happen? They'd have everything to lose. And so the Chris the cactus stands today on a hot Tucson day. You can hear them say, "I'm the luckiest cactus in the history of the world." Chris has stood there for 200 years without pain, without loss, and without fear. Yes, Chris the cactus believes themselves lucky. You tell me what you hear. We can go to the next slide. The blank slide, that is. Have you ever felt afraid of your own joy? Anyone experience that, being afraid to be joyful, right? Maybe sometimes it just feels like it's too much, or maybe you're afraid to lose it. One of my favorite theologians, philosophers, religiously wise people is a social worker researcher named Brené Brown. Anybody know Brené Brown's work? If you don't, I highly encourage you to look her up. She's amazing. She's one of my favorite people in the world. And she says that one of the things that's true is that we're so afraid of our own joy that it feels terrifying. And when you're terrified of your own emotions, you have a tendency to want to shut it down, right? Not only because you won't feel the joy, but because you won't feel the terror anymore. You won't feel afraid. You won't have anything to lose. She says, we try to dress rehearse for tragedy so that we can beat vulnerability to the punch. We dress rehearse tragedy. She gives the example of a parent watching their child sleep. Do we have any parents here who've watched their children sleep? I'm sure we have. And feeling so much love and so much happiness that their very next thought is everything that could possibly go wrong. Anybody have that experience? Yeah, that is pretty common. That is dress rehearsing tragedy. It's imagining all the things that go wrong, and it lessens the joy, but it allows us to feel more stable, more secure, more safe. And that's what Chris the cactus was doing, right? If Chris the cactus didn't feel beauty or love or joy, then Chris the cactus wasn't afraid of losing beauty or love or joy. Chris the cactus wasn't afraid of losing anything or being hurt by the animals who lived with them or anything like that. Chris the cactus was rehearsing for tragedy, for the worst thing that could go wrong. Now, we live in a culture of scarcity here in the United States. We tend to think of all the things that could go wrong and not having enough, and certainly that's the political rhetoric we hear all the time. And we teach our kids that in our schools, and even sometimes in our homes. We dress rehearse for tragedy even in our whole society
around each other and our resources. And there's a whole lot of ways that we put up barriers. We wear armor. I want you to imagine a knight who's wearing armor because she doesn't want to be hurt by the feelings within her or around her. Yes? Armor. And there's different kinds of armor that we wear. One of the most common ones is the armor of perfection. If we get it just right, just perfect, then we won't have to feel the loss of being mistaken or learning or growing or even wrong. Perfectionism. We get it just right. If we know the right way and everybody else is wrong, then we don't have to change how we are inside. Perfectionism. One of the little chinks in the armor. Maybe it's the helmet. And the second one is numbing. And this could be numbing by finding your favorite food. That tends to be my preference. Or taking drugs, drinking alcohol, playing computer games, getting lost in Facebook, watching television, or just sleeping. There are all kinds of ways to numb ourselves so that we don't have to fear the tragedy of losing those things we love or enjoy, or give us hope and give us vibrancy. Maybe that's our breastplate and our armor that we wear. And the third thing, and the thing that really can interfere with joyfulness in living, is we forebode joy. We're afraid of joy. And so we start that dress rehearsing for tragedy. We think everything's going to go wrong, of everything that's going to go wrong, so that we don't have to fully embrace the joy and then lose it again. The best barometer for measuring our capacity for joy, says Brené Brown, is our ability to be vulnerable. And she talks about the difference between those people who embrace joy fully and don't go to that fear place. They don't dress rehearse for tragedy. And the people who do feel that joy and immediately go to that fear place. And here's the thing. They both have the moment of wanting to shut down the joy, of thinking of all the fearful things. But different things happen in each path. Actually, it was from the mouths of Lyric here that one of the things happened. If you're healthy and you're engaging in vulnerability, you feel gratitude. You feel grateful. And you let go of rehearsing for that tragedy. You think, I love these children. Oh yeah, maybe something could happen, but I'm not going to worry about what could happen to my kids. Instead, I'm going to say, wow, they're beautiful. I love them. I have hope for them. They fill me with joy. I am so grateful for their living. And it changes the story we tell ourselves, right? And the other direction, of course, is we rehearse for tragedy. Which one would you prefer? You might even think the first one, but still feel the second one, right? It's a tough thing to live with. But when we risk joy, when we risk celebrating, when we risk living, when we say yes to life, we open our hearts. There's this capacity within ourselves that grows. We'll talk about that a little later in the service. But for now, I leave you with these words. Spirituality is recognizing and celebrating that we are all inextricably connected to each other by a power greater than all of us, and that our connection to that power and to one another is grounded in love and compassion. Practicing spirituality brings a sense of perspective, meaning, and purpose to our lives. That's in one of Brené Brown's books. And all she's saying is, when we recognize that we're connected to each other, that we matter, no matter how old we are, no matter what we look like, no matter where we are, if we take from our first position not all the horrible things that could go wrong, but our gratitude for one another, we live a spiritually meaningful life. We remember meaning and purpose for ourselves and for those around us. Maybe so. I invite you to please stay seated, but join in singing hymn number 100, Peace Like a River. Each week, we take some time to recognize those joys and sorrows living within our community, those celebrations of life, gifts of living and wholeness, and those struggles that we face for those in times of illness, death and dying, broken relationships, changing worlds and families. Each week, we invite you to take a stone from the bowls as you enter or as you come forward to represent those joys and sorrows in your life, and to release them into the cleansing waters of this community, which monthly are taken by the pagan members of our congregation and cleansed by the sun. At this time, I invite you to come forward and place stones in the bowl to represent your joys and sorrows in a ritual of joy and sorrow. I've got peace like a river, I've got peace like a river. I've got peace like a river in my soul. I've got peace like a river, I've got peace like a river. I've got peace like a river in my soul. I've got peace like a river, I've got peace like a river. I've got peace like a river in my soul. I've got peace like a river, I've got
peace like a river. I got peace like a river in my soul. I don't want to sing a solo. I don't want to sing a solo. I've got peace like a river in my soul. I've got peace like a river. I've got peace like a river. I've got peace like a river in my soul. I've got peace like a river. I've got peace like a river. I've got peace like a river in my soul. I've got peace like a river. I've got peace like a river. I've got peace like a river in my soul, in my soul.
I place a stone in the water for those joys and sorrows lying in the silent sanctuaries of our hearts. And I place a stone in the water for all those who cannot be with us in community today. I invite you now into a time of meditation, prayer, or contemplation. I invite you to be present here in the room, to notice how the pew feels beneath you, how your clothes feel against your skin, to notice the sounds around you, notice the smells. I invite you to be present here and now, and as you are here and now, I invite you to take a slow, deep breath in through and into your belly, in and out, and in and out. One more time so your neighbor can hear you, in and out. And as you center into this space and notice the world around you, I invite you to pay attention to those struggles in your life. If you're experiencing pain, to be aware of it. If you're experiencing illness or death or grief in your own life, fear or uncertainty or anxiety, and just be okay with letting that emotion be with you for a moment, not more. Just a little bit of time. Each and every person here today has a struggle in their lives. Let yourself be in this supportive community in your own emotion, aware of your own difficulties, your own troubles. And I invite you to breathe in deeply, breathe out, I invite you to take these troubles and just imagine wrapping them up in a little box for a moment, a box that won't stay closed for long, but that you can just kind of set aside. So that you can take a moment and be with what you're grateful for. Take a moment and think about all those things that give you joy and hope and grace. Those things that make you laugh. Maybe there was some juice you drank this morning that you particularly love, or the hug of a loved one or a friend. Maybe it was seeing that awesome steamboat in the river. Or seeing a friendly face here today. Focus on that one thing that you are grateful for and feel the full joy. Each and every person here today has one thing, no matter how small, for which they can be grateful. May you lift that up in joy and celebration. And now I invite you to take that box where you put that one trouble that you had, and I invite you to put that gratitude in with it. Knowing that your ability to feel that trouble is the same thing that lets you feel that joy. I invite you into a moment of silent meditation, prayer, or contemplation. As you come back into this space, I invite you to open that box and take back that gratitude and that trouble and hold it in your heart. And you know that we are here for you in times of gratitude and struggle, and may you be here for others in the same time. May it be so.
Each week we take a collection from the bounty of this community. As you give to our collection plate this week, please take a moment to reflect on these words by Heather Christensen. Unitarian Universalism is a grand vision of a world filled with peace, justice, love, and joy. That vision is embodied in a few large congregations, numerous mid-sized congregations, and many small congregations. No matter its size, every congregation depends on each of its members. Each one of you by your commitment of time, energy, and resources helps make that grand vision real. Individually and together, we are Unitarian Universalists, building a world filled with peace and justice, love and joy. This morning's offering will be gratefully received, may it be joyfully given.
As Ron Glossop comes forward, bringing our offertory, I invite you to join us in our offertory blessing. Thank you. To the work of the church, which is weaving a tapestry of love we call community, we dedicate ourselves, and these are offerings. So rather than a reading this morning, I thought we would listen to a song about joy. Gonna Have a Good Day. And as you watch it, I want you to note that the song is being danced to and sung to by a group of Haitian orphans. And the people who created the video do a family model of orphanage. And they said too often people have a certain image of what it means to be in Haiti and to be an orphan. And they wanted to challenge that. And so that is what we're watching today. If you know the song, you're certainly allowed to sing. And if you want to dance, it's a dance.
Thank you. Let's begin now. 360. I woke up this morning and I said, you know, instead of waiting for a good day to happen, you know, waiting around through ups and downs, you know, I just said, look,
we're gonna have a good day.
Cleaned up, now I'm ready to play. Make a call to the sticks, say I'm headed that way. Heard my cousin cooking out, I gotta get me a play. Got this new outfit, ain't even out in the state. So if I ain't speaking too soon, but this a hell of a day. And the sticky got me sitting in a hell of a place. Got my stunner shades on and a grin on my face. New grill looks mean, but I swear I'm straight. And the hood showing love, so I'm A-OK.
Was that joyful? How many of you felt joy watching it? How many of you were afraid to feel joy watching it? This is what Pete Michaudrin says. When you begin to touch your heart or let your heart be touched, you begin to discover that it's bottomless, that it doesn't have any resolution, that this heart is huge, it is vast and limitless. You begin to discover how much warmth and gentleness is there, as well as how much space. And that's the thing about holding gratitude with our positive feelings, because our gratitude invites us to expand the space when our first instinct might be to contract. Because the truth is, we have the capacity for great joy. And of course, the truth is, we have capacity for great pain. But even as I think about Haiti, we tend to focus on all the horrible things that happen in Haiti. And we forget that there's great joy there as anywhere. Even in places like Syria and where ISIS is, there are joyful things happening there too, even in the face of war. We forget to remember that it isn't all bad. And Lord knows our media doesn't help with that, does it? You turn on the television, and it's bad thing after bad thing, and a lot of it's rhetoric. It's not even real, because the news media knows that if they keep you anxious and fearful, you're going to want to watch more. For them, it's just advertising. But for us, it moves into our hearts. It starts to control our worlds even before we realize it. They have a term for this. It's called gaslighting.
our worlds get created for us instead of letting our truth be true. So when you get into that place of generosity, of gratitude, as Lyric said earlier, it's about saying yes and thank you. And not thank you because your parents reminded you you have to say thank you every time. My mother gratefully did not teach me that. It's being grateful because there are real pleasures in life. Would you take a minute and look around the room at one another? Really, truly. I know the introverts are like, darn it, sunshine, would you stop doing this? Look at the people. Hi. How many of you smile when you look around at folks? Because you like each other, I hope, most of the time. Don't get me wrong, we have our moments. I think I told you the story of when I was a kid and my mom and I were having a fight and I said, I hate you. And she said, well, I love you. I'm like, no, you don't. You can't love me and hate me at the same time. She said, well, I don't hate you. Yes, you do. She said, I told her she couldn't love me because I didn't love her. I hated her. But what was she teaching me in that moment, huh? What? That your parents always love you, even when they're mad, even when they're not perfect, because Lord knows parents ain't perfect. Right? It's good to dream, Paul. It really is. Great. So I want to ask you to join with me in a quick generosity practice. I want you to take a moment and think about your last 24 hours and think of one thing that you're grateful for. Just one. Like I said, it could be that juice. For me, it's coffee, hello. Though I think I'm going to think the Old Town Donuts from Florissant that I had yesterday. The beauty of the sun. Some of you actually like humidity. Whatever it is. Think about that one thing you're grateful for. And as you're thinking of that one thing you're grateful for, I want you to focus your mind as much on it as possible. And I want you to feel the gratitude. What does it feel like to you? Just hold it in your mind's eye for a moment. And I want you to answer this question. Why is it meaningful to you? Why do you feel good or grateful for it? Anybody willing to share why they feel grateful? Phil? You called St. Louis from the phone? That you can. Grateful that you can call St. Louis, yes. You had a spiritual conversation with someone who's fulfilling. Good. Maybe one other? Grateful for your parents and all they do for you? Good. Pat?
Oh, I've discovered adult coloring books.
Amen. Adult coloring books for those who didn't hear, and yes, I agree with you. I have my mandala and I love it, yes. And Ron? Your wife, because she's always so supportive of you, yes. And when you think about those good things, don't you feel good? Now, I'm going to ask you this. As you're starting to feel good, do any of you have that moment of, but I could lose it all? That's rehearsing. But if you stay in that grateful place, you probably aren't rehearsing for tragedy. You're feeling the fullness of what you're grateful for. And that's it. That's the whole practice. If you want to practice gratitude, all you have to do is once a day, think of one thing you're really grateful for. And ask yourself why, and just live into how good that feels. One of the things that Brené Brown points out, so does Pema Chodron, and most every great religious person will tell you, generosity is not an experience, it's not a feeling. We often talk about it like it is. I wonder how many of you have told your kids or your parents or your friends, would you just be grateful? Or you maybe even thought it if you didn't say it. The people can't just become grateful. It's something we have to practice. And Brené Brown points to the fact that the more you practice that gratitude, that being grateful, the more joy lives into your life. I know for me, I've had a lot of really terrible things happen in my life. I've done a lot of terrible things in my life. And whenever I start to feel too joyful or too loving, those voices from my past come back. Oh, but Sunshine, you could lose it all. But the truth is, if I don't, I have nothing to lose. And I see that as a bad thing. And that's pretty much what every religion will do. Say yes to life. Be grateful. Own it in your heart. And notice when you can't, because that's where your work is. So, as Lyric said, be grateful. Can we try that? Yeah. Be grateful. May it be so. I invite you to please rise as your spirits and bodies allow and join in singing hymn number 1010, We Give Thanks. Sabrina extinguishes our chalice. I invite you to turn across the chandelier and face the people across from you. Yes, I know, I did it again. I invite you particularly to look for those people you may not know. Wish you give them some joy. Smile at them. Maybe make a silly face. This is practicing. Make a silly face. You can do it. Come on. Silly faces. Don't be afraid to be joyful. Don't be afraid to be silly. Because our world needs joy. It needs laughter. It needs you. It needs you to risk that joy of life and to help everyone practice risking that joy and to be grateful every day. So may you go forth this week knowing that we are grateful for your presence, that we are here in loving community for all of you. Yeah, I like that. That's a good one. May it be so. And say yes to life. Yes. Thank you.